Welcome back into the program on a Wednesday as we hit the middle of the week now. I'm joined by Robert McElroy, as always, to talk about Auburn and the upcoming weekend in college football. Robert, you saw it. I don't think you want to dwell too much on it. A 45-10 beatdown LSU over Auburn. Where were the problems? What were they? And just give us your thoughts.
Well, what were the problems? I think, you know, sometimes you face an opponent that's straight up superior to what you are. And I hate to sound as cliche as the rest of the national media, but it is the legitimate truth that LSU, as well as Alabama, have just separated themselves from not only the rest of the conference, but the rest of college football. Auburn, we'll, in talking about the game, Auburn could not block LSU. That front seven of LSU could have done whatever they wanted. They sacked Clint Mosley six times, and our defensive front was getting beat all night long by their offensive line. It was being won in the trenches, really, by LSU when it comes right down to it. So LSU was just absolutely, they were able to do whatever they want. They looked very impressive in spite of not having the three who were suspended for the synthetic marijuana charges and that. And this offense of Auburn, just they really, in the month of October, and they're 2-2, and a lot of people thought Auburn would be 1-3 or 0-4 at this point, given the way that defense was playing in September. But this team has changed a bit in that it's struggling to find a bit of offense, but defensively, you got to give it to them. They have held their own during what has really been the toughest, most brutal four-game stretch in all of college football. And I think people lose sight of that a bit, especially since this beatdown was it's a historic loss because this is the worst the defending national champion has been beaten in 26 years, I think, since 1984, I think. But so given that little piece of knowledge, people lose sight of the fact that Auburn has overachieved a bit going 2-2 in this stretch and could be 3-2 in the month of October if they get a victory over Ole Miss. So, I mean, really what they've done at this point is they've overachieved just a little bit, but still a lot of improvement needs to be done on that offense, which it was hitting on all cylinders in September. Now they're struggling again. But I think that a bit of that has to do with some of the defenses they've played have been so much better. When you're going up against Florida's defense and South Carolina and LSU, that's different from playing Utah State and Mississippi State. So I think that has a bit to do with it.
We talk about Gus Malzahn, and last year, of course, the brilliant job with Cam Newton. But in the month of October, Auburn's offense putting up 16 and 17 points was the highest total, and you say that's attributable to the level of competition on the other side of the ball? I mean, on the other side of the field?
Yes, I do. No, I do. I think it is a little bit of both, though. I think it's partially Auburn's fault, but yeah, I point to how tough the competition has been as of late, from October the 1st up to now. Even South Carolina had quite a tremendous defense, and it's funny to me how quickly the local media here has been so quick to throw Gus Malzahn under the bus when less than a year ago he had engineered one of the greatest offenses in college football that entire year en route to a national championship. And it's right here locally where people are just so ready to throw Gus Malzahn under the bus. I don't know. The guy's got a pretty good reputation. I think you got to give the man some time. Give him a year or two, and all these young kids will be, you know, the veteran type who can help engineer another great offense.
You're the offensive coordinator. Who do you put at quarterback?
Well, Clint Mosley, if you look at his numbers, he did not do terrible. I mean, he was on his back for a lot of the game, but when you consider that he did not do bad, I'd probably stick with Clint Mosley. If you yank him and Ben Trotter at this point, you're messing with Clint Mosley's head. You get him flustered, and I don't think you should do that. I think you stick with Clint Mosley, and you continue to let Kyle Frazier do that wildcat quarterback thing, which has worked out pretty well. I'd stick with Mosley.
Well, Robert, let's move on into our predictions for this upcoming weekend. I think we had a pretty good weekend last week. I'm not exactly sure what my overall record was, but
Oh, I do. You were 6-2.
Okay.
I was 5-3. What got it for you was that you went with USC over Notre Dame. I went with Notre Dame over USC. Of course, USC was victorious, and you and I both had losses with Oklahoma going down to Texas Tech and Wisconsin on that late second heroics by Michigan State.
Unbelievable, those two games. I would have never. You could have convinced me that Wisconsin would have been beaten by Michigan State. You could have never convinced me that Texas Tech was going to pull the shocker in Norman. And credit, by the way, to Tommy Tuberville. I mean, you gotta think the job. He's always lurking there, and I thought their guys just outplayed Oklahoma the other night.
Well, yeah, Tommy Tuberville, he's good for a big upset like that, a couple of them a year. He'll beat people he's not supposed to beat, but as far as the underdogs that he's supposed to be beating, he'll let a few of those get away from him. He's kind of maintained that reputation.
Well, let's start it off with Michigan State at Nebraska. This one will be played in Lincoln at 11 o'clock on ESPN. I think I'm going to take the Nebraska Cornhuskers at home here, even though Michigan State has won two in a row. That's partly why. I think they're probably a little emotionally drained, and going on the road here, I'm going to take Nebraska.
You're taking Nebraska this one? Well, I'm going to take Michigan State because they have to be one of the more confident teams in all of college football right now with wins over Michigan and Wisconsin. I mean, if you're that coaching staff, you try to tell that team, look, you should feel like one of the best teams in the country right now, one of the more confident. So ride that confidence is what I would be telling. Walk with a bit of swagger around campus and wherever you go. And ride that into this game, and it's big. It really is big for Michigan State and for Nebraska as well. I think it being in Lincoln helped Nebraska out a lot, but I'm going to take the Spartans here.
Missouri at Texas A&M, this could very well be a battle, an annual battle in the SEC soon if Missouri ever decides that it will withdraw from the Big 12. Reports are swirling that West Virginia has accepted an invitation to replace them in the Big 12 now. So now Missouri plays Texas A&M. This one's going to be played in College Station, and it's going to be on FX. It starts at 11 o'clock Central. I don't know. It's just in College Station. Saw Missouri play Oklahoma State and was not impressed Saturday, so I'm going to take the Aggies in this one, in this battle of what could be two future SEC programs.
Yeah, I'm going to take Texas A&M as well. Mizzou's coming off a loss to Oklahoma State now. They're headed to College Station. And I like Texas A&M. They have a nice little three-game winning streak going with wins over Texas Tech, Baylor, and Iowa State. And I think they're going to need a head of steam going into next week's game against Oklahoma. And I think this win over Mizzou will help them with that.
Last year, Arkansas beat Vanderbilt 49-14. Something tells me this one will be a little closer than that. I like the way Vanderbilt's defense is playing, but I don't think they're going to be able to pull off the upset. But I'm saying to Arkansas, you want to be very, very careful as you travel to Nashville and go into this game because Vanderbilt has played some teams really close this year, namely Georgia. They were in the South Carolina game for a little while, and of course they drummed Ole Miss earlier in the year. So I'm going to take Arkansas, but I'm going to take it very cautiously as they travel into Nashville.
Yeah, I'm going to take Arkansas as well. I like the matchup with all the offensive firepower that Arkansas has, but yet you have a very good defense with Vanderbilt that combats that. So I'll take the Hogs and that core of wide receivers and everybody, the entire staff to have a big day against Vanderbilt. I'm going to take the Hogs, but I'm like you. I think it's going to be closer than last year.
RG3 in the Baylor offense, Robert Griffin III, will be traveling to Oklahoma State this weekend. Oklahoma State, of course, undefeated, coming off of a big win over the Missouri Tigers last weekend. I don't know. It's in Stillwater. It's hard for me to go against the Cowboys in Stillwater, but I think this could be the opportunity where an upset could happen this weekend. We saw last week, of course, Wisconsin falling, as you mentioned earlier, and Oklahoma, the biggest one falling. This could be another Oklahoma school set up this weekend at home against what seems to be a slightly inferior opponent, but I'm going to take Oklahoma State.
I'm going to take Oklahoma State as well, and you touched a little bit about Stillwater. I think that's become one of the tougher places in the country to play. I think it's a pretty underrated place. That's a hostile environment, and they do have very passionate fans at Oklahoma State. And, you know, both teams, Baylor and Oklahoma State, are very productive from the quarterback position. But I'm going to take Oklahoma State based on how there's more weapons surrounding that quarterback, Brandon Weeden. I think in Baylor, if they had just a handful more pieces of that puzzle, then I think Baylor, I'd probably take them. But I like Oklahoma State.
At 2:30 on ESPN, number 9, Oklahoma travels to Manhattan, Kansas to play the Wildcats of Kansas State, who are number 8 and undefeated to this point. Wow, how about the Wildcats? I'm going to take Kansas State in this game because I believe Oklahoma, I don't particularly think they're in a great place psychologically right now coming off of that really devastating loss to Texas Tech. And Kansas State playing in Manhattan, I've seen it so many times, saw them knock off Texas a few years ago in a big upset. They are always there and ready to pull the upset, especially when Bill Snyder is their coach. So I'm going to take the Kansas State Wildcats, and I know it's probably, I don't know what the line is on this one, but it's probably not that much of an upset, or it could be that Kansas State is favored. I just don't know, but I'm going to take the Wildcats.
You know, I'm going to go along with you on that and also take Kansas State. It's so dependent on how Oklahoma is psychologically, like you say, and if they go into this emotionally, with timidity in that, if they go in timidly, I think they're in trouble, and I'm picking that they're still a little down from last week's game. Certainly Oklahoma, the more talented football team, but Kansas State's playing as good as anybody. So I'm going to take the Wildcats.
South Carolina at Tennessee. So I think South Carolina has beaten Tennessee only once in Knoxville, and that was a couple of years ago, 2005, Steve Spurrier's first year. Well, I think this will make it number 2 for the Gamecocks. I like them to go into Knoxville and beat them. But Tennessee right now, without Marcus Lattimore, South Carolina's 1-2 punch, Tennessee could probably give South Carolina a pretty good game. I'm still taking the Gamecocks.
I'm going to go the other way and pick Tennessee. Tennessee looked pretty good for only one half of football against Alabama last week. Yeah, but I like some of the things that I saw. I like how they were able to lean on Taurean Poole, that running back of theirs, who I think is really good and probably one of the more underrated backs in the SEC. So UT's found a little bit of identity offensively, even without Kyler Bray. South Carolina, they're the polar opposite with Marcus Lattimore out. Even when they had Lattimore, they were still having trouble conjuring up a bit of offense. And with a wide receiver out there as talented as Alshon Jeffery, there's no excuse for that. I'm going to take Tennessee. I think it's going to be a ruckus environment there in Knoxville.
Mississippi State at Kentucky. This one is always an interesting pick, although this year Kentucky is so far down, they're well below Mississippi State, even if you can believe that. So I'm going to take Mississippi State in this one to go on the road in Lexington and just get a win. Everybody seems to be benefiting off of Kentucky's struggles this year.
Yeah, I'm going to take Mississippi State also. They're favored in this game by 10, and I like the Bulldogs to cover that.
Ole Miss, of course, traveling to Jordan-Hare Stadium this weekend. Auburn probably not in a great mood after getting drummed by LSU last week. Ole Miss, of course, back-to-back losses to Alabama and Arkansas, although they kept it close in that Arkansas game for nearly the entire game. It was a comeback victory for Arkansas, but I still think Auburn has way too much for Ole Miss this week, and I don't know if it'll be a blowout, but I like Auburn to win this one pretty soundly.
Yeah, it's my belief that both teams are going to have to fight for this one. Ole Miss doesn't want to be, they don't want to chalk up a goose egg in SEC play this year, in what could be Houston Nutt's final year in Oxford. Auburn faced a far superior team in LSU this past week, like I said earlier, and Ole Miss is no LSU. I'm going to take Auburn in this game. I think they just have a lot more weapons than Ole Miss.
Let's move on now to Clemson and Georgia Tech. Clemson, of course, comes into this game undefeated in the race, well, potentially in the race for the national championship. They're going to need a little bit of help, but they're playing at Georgia Tech. This one, I don't know. I'm going to take the Ramblin' Wreck. I like Georgia Tech when they play at home. I like Paul Johnson in a close game to keep it close and perhaps pull off the upset, even though Georgia Tech has been beaten the last 2 weeks. But I kind of think they've been looking ahead, and that was their problem last week in Miami, is they were looking ahead to this weekend. This one's at 7 o'clock on ABC. It's going to be a night game in Bobby Dodd Stadium. So I'm going to take Georgia Tech to pull off the upset and end Clemson's undefeated season.
Well, I'm picking Clemson in this game. I think Kevin Steele and the defensive staff of Clemson are just going to out-coach the offensive staff of Georgia Tech. I like Paul Johnson a lot, and I love that offense. Having said all that, Clemson does not need to get off to a slow start, because getting off to a slow start against an offense like that of Georgia Tech, it's going to be tough to try to come back from that. But I'm going to take Clemson defensively to be able to out-coach Georgia Tech, and Sammy Watkins and Taj Boyd just to be themselves.
Well, I can't call this next game the world's largest outdoor cocktail party, because Mike Slav will find me if I do. According to the SEC, that's against the rules, so I can't say that it's the world's largest outdoor cocktail party, so I won't say that. But the Georgia and Florida game, it's always interesting. It's a big rivalry game. I mean, you talk about those border state rivalries, Ohio State, Michigan, Tennessee, Alabama. Well, this is a big one. Georgia, Florida, it always is, every year, playing at that neutral site in Jacksonville. The Gators, they beat Georgia every year. Mark Richt, I believe, has one win over them in all of the times they've matched up against one another. However, this is a different Florida team. This is a down Florida team. And I just think Georgia wants to get a lot of revenge on the Gators for all the misery they put them through over the years. So I'm going to take Georgia, and I'm going to take Georgia pretty big in this one.
Yeah, I'm going to take Georgia, too. It's one of those rivalries that it's just a funny little thing here in this conference where you have certain teams that just always struggle against a particular rival. Like Florida, like you say, they usually always beat Georgia. But I think this year is going to be different. Florida, not a lot of offensive identity. I like their defense, but I think Georgia and Aaron Murray and company, I think they get it done. I think they get it done at the Swamp.
Our final
or
pick,
Jackson, or actually Jacksonville. That's where this game is played.
Our final pick of the weekend is going to be played in Southern California, and it is the Stanford Cardinal, the undefeated sixth-ranked Stanford Cardinal, traveling to USC. USC, of course, ineligible for postseason play or anything like that. They did get a 31-17 victory over Notre Dame last weekend. However, and I picked them to do that, but this week, no, I'm not picking them to beat Stanford. I think they'll give them a good game, perhaps for three quarters, but I don't know. Stanford's offense with Andrew Luck seems to be clicking right now, and Stanford really wants to prove itself to the rest of the nation that, hey, we belong in the top of the BCS standings, too. We may not be as good as Alabama and LSU, but I definitely think, but we definitely feel like we have a shot to play if one of those two loses. So I like Stanford to really make a statement this weekend against USC and get the win on the road.
I do, too. It's my belief that Stanford and Oregon are the class of that conference. I'll take Andrew Luck and Stanford. If linebacker Shane Scope were still healthy, this Stanford team would be even more scarier than it already is.
Absolutely. Well, Robert, it should be another great weekend of football. And as always, we appreciate the time, and we will talk next week.
Yeah, man. Well, I always appreciate coming on. Thanks a lot.
Absolutely. Well, we'll be back soon on the Bun Sports Show. Keep it right here for the latest news and analysis of college football from around the country. For Robert McElroy, my name is Jacob Bunn. We will be back next time.